مش بعد المسجد
ما
ما بيعرف يعطيني يسوي ضرب الله يسجل ما بقيت انه ولد غير
They can see, they can hear.
Yes, yes, yes.
Here, a little bit left of the previous sugya. We'll see whether how much that little bit or a lot of left of the previous sugya before we start the next one. So let's just recap where we left off last week. We were discussing whether. We were discussing whether a beis din is necessary for a get in general. There were definitely a few cases where a beis din was necessary, such as a get that's forced, such as a get that's brought from Medina Sayyam and requires the Farnecha Farnechtam. But whether that's true for all get, it was very, very unclear. So we saw, although there was one minority view in Rishonim that maintained that a beis din is necessary, even within that minority view, there was a further breakdown as to what is it about a get that requires a beis din. So there was one opinion that maintained that it's not the get proper, it's the dini mamonashim. It's because a get always results in a ksuba, so then the entire get process is viewed as a din Torah of dini mamonashim. That was the view of the Rivad. And the Ozarua said, that's not true. The Ozarua said, we'll give the get, we'll worry about the ksuba later. So the Ozarua said that if you want to tell me that a get requires a beis din, that's because a get proper is considered to be part of the Eilam Mishpatim. Just the very, very essence of the chalos of a get is considered to be a beis din oriented activity. And most of the Rishonim probably denied both of them. They denied the Rivan's linkage between get and the ksuba. They denied the Ozarua's assumption that a get proper is the nimamunis. And therefore, taka get doesn't require a beis din. If it did, never will, there's no requirement of a beis din whatsoever. But within that view, that a get requires a beis din, we had a further question at the end of the show last week about how does that play out in terms of Laila. Oh, I see, I want to give a get at night. Is there any limitations or any hesitation in giving a get at night? So again, if you hold that, there's no limit to beis din altogether, so then I can give a get at night. Let's do a beis din. So of course you can do it at night. But if you hold that there is a bit of beis din, should that require us to refrain from giving a get at night? So we spent some time last week talking about the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, about a little bit of a cryptic Gemara. And the Gemara discussed about not a get at night, but a chalitz at night. And the Gemara tossed around terms, tchilas din, besof din. So we view the chalitz as the beginning of the story, the end of the story. And the Rav Yoh told us the Rivan told us that that was based on as follows, that because a get or a chalitza, a link to the ksuba, so you can almost understand that as a tchilas din or a self din. Tchilas din is because this is where you start. This is the first time this case is appearing in court. It's not the tchilas din. The tchilas din by Laila is a problem. But maybe it's a self din. Why is it a self din? Because shtar omen limus can go with dummy. Because the shtar is there. The dach was there. This case is over before it even starts. She has a shtar that says that he owes her X amount of money for the ksuba. There are eight that are signed on the shtar. It's not going to take very long for this case to be judged. And therefore, we can even look at it through the lens of a gemar din, allowing us to be makil to even let it take place at night. That was pretty much where we left off last week. That was in terms of Gilman. Okay, that's the case. Okay, that was just the gemar din of the last week. That was in terms of chalitza. And that same lumbus she carry over to a get, according to the Rivan, that if you hold that a chalitza is a tchilas din, then a get is a tchilas din. No, that a chalitza is a gemara din, then a get is a gemara din. We pass in the halacha that a chalitza is a tchilas din. We pass in the halacha chalitza belayla is psula. So therefore, a get belayla is going to be possible as well. So the Ozarua actually outdid the Rivan in this one. The Ozarua has a little bit of a different twist in terms of lomdas. It's more of a chalitza part of the sugya than a get. But we'll just talk about it for a moment. That the Ozarua claims that the tchilas din, the sof din about chalitza, had nothing to do with the ksuba. Because remember, the Ozarua was the one who took out that ksuba equation. That's not what makes or breaks something status as a din. Says the Ozarua, chalitza in that sugi in Yevamos Kubeis is a din. And now we just have to figure out the tchilas din of a gemara din. Why in the world should somebody say the chalitza is a tchilas din of a gemara din? So the Ozarua gives a very, very long shabia, which is really a Yevamos type of a topic, where the Ozarua explains the following lomdas, that what is the goal of chalitza? The real goal, forget about the money part. What's the real part of Chalitza? The real goal of Chalitza is to permit this woman to remarry. That's the bottom line, is that she was assumed to remarry until she has Chalitza. Comes Chalitza and permits her to remarry. Is that a Tchilas Heter or is that a Sof Heter? Strange question. It's not a strange question at all. A woman is married, she sees an Ashishis, so she can't marry anybody else. The husband dies, so 9 out of 10 times, the Misa Zabal is the matter of the Isser of Ashishis. So it's all finished. Isha Mutar, Misa Zabal, she can now go and remarry. But if there's a brother and he didn't have any children, and there's a brother, and there's a Mitzvah Yibum, and there's a Mitzvah Chalitza, the Torah puts the brakes on the heter of this woman. It says, no, not so fast. She can't remarry yet until you do Chalitza. So how do you understand the progression here? She started out as an Eishes Ish. The husband dies, which should have been matter her. The Torah says she can't remarry. She does Chalitza, then she can remarry. How do you explain what just transpired here? So in terms of pure Yevamos Lomdos, you can understand this in one of two ways. You can understand when a husband dies, the Isser Eishes Ish is over. It's done. It's history. She's not an Eishes Ish anymore. The heter of Eishes Ish has already taken place with the Misabal. There's a new Isser HaTorah called Yevam HaMashuk. A brand new Isser, literally out of nowhere, called if a woman's husband died and he didn't have any children, she can't remarry unless she does Yibo Chalitza. But that new Isser has nothing to do with the original Isser of Eishes Ish. And therefore, that Isser has to be addressed, has to become permitted. That Isser, that brand new Isser, is about to be taken care of by doing the Chalitza. If that's our understanding of Chalitza, then Chalitza is the beginning. Chalitza is the first step in the first step. That's the first step in removing the Isser of Losia Ishtabesachutz Lezar. But maybe we have a little bit of a different quirk, a little bit of a different twist in terms of what Chalitza is all about. A woman's husband dies, 99% of the time she becomes Muteris, but if the husband didn't have any children, and there's a brother around, that the Isser Eishes Ish was never completely Muteris. That the Torah still holds on to that Isser Eishes Ish. Again, it's not the same degree as the real Eishes Ish. If she's Mezana Tachas Yevama in the state of Yevam Loshuk, she's not Chayav Mi. So it's not the same as a real bona fide Eishes Ish. But the nature of the Isser Losia Eishes Abesach Utslezar is still considered to be a Shtik Eishes Ish. It's a quasi, a watered down, lower level Isser Eishes Ish. Then when Chalitza comes, so that Isser is removed. So if that's the lumdus of the Isser of Yevam HaLashuk, and the Chalitza is not the first step of the Heter, the Chalitza is actually the end of the Heter. The Chalitza is coming on the heels of the Misa Zabal. There's a two-step process to permit this woman's Isser Eishes Ish. There's Misa Zabal that knocks off 99% of it, and then the Chalitza knocks off the last Shiraya, the last end of it. If that's the lumdus of what Chalitza is, so Chalitza is in fact a Gemar Hadomah. It's not a Tchilas HaDavar. And as a Gemara HaDavar, so then it should be permitted to be done at night, which is exactly what one Tana says. So a very, very lomdush yavamistika shiakloli as to what the whether we should or should not permit Chalitza at night. But says the Ozarua, according to this Svara, a get at night is absolutely out of the question. Because a get is for sure the Tchilas HaDavar. The woman was a full-fledged Eishes Ish. The get comes with Tchilas HaMat, that is her. So that's a Tchilas HaDin, and a Tchilas HaDin B'Layla is possible in the Torah. So it comes out that Bein Lefi the Rivan, Bein Lefi the Ozarua, we paskin l'alocha Chalitza at night is no good. So therefore, whether Chalitza at night is no good because of the Mamunas or the Ksuba, whether the Chalitza is no good because of the Din proper, a get carries over with all of those characteristics. So a get at night is out of the question. According to the Rivan, a get at night is out of the question according to the Ozarua. According to the silent majority of Rishonim, who say that there never was, never is a din of dinim, there is no din of beis din for a get. And of course, a get at night would be totally kosher lechatchila. So how do we paskin? Tachlis, leaving all the lomdos, so how do we paskin today? Is a get at night good enough? So we paskin a little bit of a split. We paskin that be ikra din, it's acceptable. But lechatchila, when we can avoid it, so the minig is not to give get at night. That's why there are more quotes of pshar, quotes of compromise, that we give a get, we don't want to get involved. Someone's going to say, oh, according to the rule, it's no good. According to the revanchist nation, we don't want that kind of stuff. So therefore, lechatchila, when we give a get, we'll always try to give the get by yom, if we can. But if push comes to shove, and we must give the get at night for some reason, then we will permit the giving of a get at night if we really have to. What would we really have to? It's a shah of Machamaguna. let's say the husband is refusing to give a get, and now all of a sudden, so we get him in a good mood right now. It happens to be 10 o'clock at night. You wait till tomorrow morning, be all day, like, you know, it's going to happen like tomorrow morning. So therefore, we will be Masada again if we have to at night.
If you give a get and
you
never give the
tshuva,
she's not
the right, 100%. You are mechabin to what we call the solid majority of the Rishonim. Well, you're not the only one to not understand what the Rivan meant. Rivan's linkage was very, very hard to understand. Rivan said, Rashi seems to say to himself, so you're right. Halachar, the get luchod and the ksub luchod. Right. That's the Pasha Pshah, like what you're saying, which is really what we pass it. Halachar, we do, will accept, after the fact, we will accept, Mishasarachach, a get that's given at night. I remember somebody told me a story about Rari Soloveitchik. I was at a chasana, and there was a fellow there who was holding up his wife for a get for quite some time. And he was at the wedding, and he was seemed to have been in a good mood. Hopefully, he didn't have too much to drink, but he was in a fairly good mood. And one of the rabbanim approached the man and said, "You listen, you're holding up your wife now. You know, can you give a get? Be just cooperate, father." I said, "Okay, Besed, I'll come back tomorrow morning. We'll put together a get." So they told Rabbi Soloveitchik that he was willing to give a get. He said, we're not waiting until tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back in the bedroom again. They took him into the coat room of the chasana, and then they were up again on the spot with him at 10 o'clock at night. Certain things you don't wait for. You don't wait for the next day. So the halacha, under normal circumstances, we try to avoid this. Because in the back of our mind, we're a little bit worried that maybe there is some dimension of din going on here. So we'll try to avoid it if we can. It's based on this kind of compromised psak that we have. It throws into a question another practice that we have when it comes to gittin. And that is a question that was raised hundreds and hundreds of years ago by, it's an interesting source, it's the Bartanura. Bartanura wrote Perish Mishnayos. Usually the Bartanura doesn't write things like Tzach Halach and his Perish Mishnayos. It's simply a commentary, running commentary of Mishnayos. But there's a Bartanura in Maseches Bechoros of all places that has a scathing comment about Hilchos Gittin. A very, very strong critique of Hilchos Gittin that was practiced in certain Bati Dinim, which is as follows. That the Mishnah, it says, Bechoros, is talking about if a person is asked to take a look at a mum or a bechor to see if the animal has a kind of a blemish that will render it to be no longer kosher as a korban, then you'll be able to eat it, etc. A whole complicated sugya is a prakim. At the end of a second, it's Bechoros. It's a whole area of halacha that we don't really have as much as that. Nobody's looking at the Rias Bechoros, the Rias movement anymore. The days of Chazal, the days of Beis Hamikdash, this was considered to be the third level of smicha. The Gemara says, Maseches Sanhedrin, that the basic level, the first tier smicha that we call Yoreh, that's the Paschal Shalas and Kashrus and Shabbos and Taras Mishpacha. That's the basic title of Rabbi. Then the Gemara says there was a second title of smicha called Yodin, which means the Paschal Dini Mominus as well. Then the Gemara says the third title was Yatta Bechoros, that after a person passed the first test and the second test, then they want to go up to this is the highest level of smicha. That is Yad Becheres. Today, we don't have too many Yad Becheres smichas that are given. Nobody learns Yad Becheres. Although we used to joke when myself and Rabbi Daniel Feldman, so we were chavrusas for a couple of years, when I finished smicha, we were learning the kolo, and we used to learn Becheres in the morning. So we used to joke that we were the Yad Becheres smicha program. Why are you? The only two guys who are learning Yad Becheres. So anyway, the Mishnah says in the second Becheres that when a person comes to look at Becheres, so you're not supposed to get paid for it. That it's supposed to, whenever you teach Torah, you're supposed to teach Torah for free. So the Gemara, in that sugi, the Mishnah says that the Mati Becheres are not supposed to get paid, and then the Mishnah says that the Dayanim are not supposed to get paid. So there are sugis, and the other Ksubas, how are they supposed to live? Nobody's getting paid. So the Gemara discusses about different things, Chaypatola, you're allowed to pay them not to make other jobs and certain other things. There are certain degrees of a very, very limited amount of salaries you are permitted to pay people, even to be Dayanim. But by and large, the Dayan is not supposed to get paid. And the Mishnah says that the Dayan gets paid for his job, so Dina Batalim. So his whole, the whole din that he gave is Ba'at Lamavutal. So the Batanura on the spot, and that Mishnah says that he heard that an Ashkenazi community, Batanura, lived in Italy, and then I think there's a scroll there, there's left, I'm mistaken, he writes, he heard that in the Ashkenazi communities that the Masadre Gittin get paid. They get paid for their work, for their day's work, takes a few hours, the gets, they get paid for their work. So Batanura says he thinks it's a terrible thing. The Masadre Gittin are getting paid because Dayan should not all schar, Dayan's not supposed to get paid. So the Batanura says that preparing a get is a din, and therefore, Taka, they shouldn't get a salary. That was the Rash, the Batiru said, Shemati, and he's a Koreni Tagar. I'm yelling and screaming, critiquing the Ashkenazi. I don't know what's going on, it's funny because I can't tell you, but the Ashkenazi community is telling you they were getting paid, and he said, I don't think it's right. So the Ramah, in Uchaz Gittin, quotes this Batirura, and he says, he doesn't know why he was critiquing us, but he says, what does he want? He says, it's not a din anyway. He says, a get is, everyone knows a get is not a din. So what do you mean? What does that have to do with what does that have to do with Dayan getting paid? So the Rambam writes, he doesn't know what the Bartanura wanted, and Dayan would keep on getting paid for being misadvocated. So the lady Rachmaronim don't understand the Rambam, because the Rambam himself says, l'chadchila not to give a get at night. The Rambam Gufa in Seder Get says, don't give a get at night, because it's, again, it's a far-fetched chashash. It's only a Rivan, it's only a Zarua, it's an As Yochid, it's not the way we really pass it. But normal standard protocol in Ashkenazi, but the Dinim today is not to give Gittin at night under normal circumstances. So how could the Ramah turn around and say, this is it, it's not a din? So in Hilchus nighttime, the Ramah saying that we are Choshish, that maybe it is a din. In Hilchus salary time, so we're not Choshish. So it's the same Shaila. Either again, is a din or it's not a din. So how can we split between the salary and the nighttime? So the later Acharon explained that if you look carefully at the Lashon HaRamah, when the Ramah critiques the Batanura, who is critiquing the Batanidim in the Ashkenazi communities, so the Ramah is very, Madukah's Lashon HaRamah writes, Sidra Ged Eino Din, Ela Sidra Tanaisi Bobat, like that. So the later Acharon writes, what the Ramah meant is as follows, that a get process takes some time. It's not a 3-minute ordeal. You come to base and right up again, chick chat. There's a lot of questioning before, and there's a lot of information before. You got to get identifications. You got to get it. There's a lot of pre-game show to the get proper. The get itself, it takes 20 minutes to write the get, the 3 minutes to give the get and show. So the real halachic parts of the get are not all that long, but the real time, the real effort, the real the real salary is for the prep to the get. So that's what the Rambam means, that of course the get itself is a chashash of a din. And that's why under normal circumstances, Shovin Aguna, we're not going to go run to give a get at night. And yes, we are going to treat a get as a, to something we like, and for whatever reasons. But the Seder HaTainis, all the stuff beforehand, all the drink, all the getting screamed at, all the yelling, all the fighting between the husband and the wife that the Yarama are privy to, and all the preparation, we gotta find the cipher, we gotta get the pen, we gotta make sure that he's right, we gotta make sure he's right, the husband, make sure she's right, the wife. Is he a bardas? Is she a bardas? Is he a gadol? She's a gadol? Oh, all the questions that have to take place to before a get is actually administered. All of that, that's not a din, that's just a prereqs. So the prereqs, the cedar had tightness of a get, that we're allowed to get the, you can do that at night also. But the Ramah never said it. The Ramah said that the whole salary is for the prereqs anyway. It's not for the get problem. That's why we have no problem that they actually can get the paid. Those who are interested, so we'll make a pitch for that Sunday, it's the middle of March, that Yom HaKal, the yeshiva is running, so you may have seen it advertised. There's going to be a whole day in one of the hotels in the Meadowlands, so a whole day of learning and shiurim and other, experiencing a day, quote unquote, the life of yeshiva. So some of the shiurim are going to be in the Yom HaKal, a lot of other topics. But there's going to be a get demonstration. There will not be a real husband and wife there, but there will be a get demonstration by one of the Masad we get in yeshiva, who will go step by step and show you what happens from A to Z in terms of the entire process of giving a get. So if you decide to come there, keep a track of the timing. See how much time is taken up by the prep and how much taken up by the get proper, and you'll understand whether they do get paid. Anyway, back to our stuff. So I think we're done with the sugya. Let's see if we can get started on the next of the sugyas. So where begins on the 18th of the Ramakamos with the same question that we left off with in the last again. Itmar, Bifnei Kama knows the law. How many Dayanim have to be present for the giving of this particular get? Where the most of Rishonim and Gemara is not talking about regular get, it's only talking about this get, because this happens to be a Bifnei Nechtam get. So Bifnei Nechtam, whoa, that's already like a Shtichul Eidos, that's a Kabbalah Eidos, that's a Bezdin, that's Bezdin territory, and therefore, obviously, you require a Beis Din. How many Dayanim are going to make up that Beis Din? So this is a very, very strange question. This is more of a Tuesday night question than a Tuesday morning question. Tuesday night this year, we're learning the beginning of the second Sanhedrin. So this is a general question. How many Dayanim do you need for a Beis Din? So we all know the first mission said, the starting point of a Beis Din is three. Some cases you need more than three, 23, 71, but the starting point is three. So the Gemara says, what is the starting point here? Rabbi Yech, Rabbi Chanina, Chalam v'nei Shnayim v'chalam v'nei Shlosha. So one Amora said that you need two, and one Amora says that you need three. So the Amora that said that you need three, that makes a lot of sense. The Amora that says you need two, where in the world did that come from? So the Gemara finally says as follows. Let's get all the way down to the third line from the end of the first Amora Kamos. The Gemara says that, of course, the Kuliyama be'in and Edim and Tzulikayim, of course, one of the purposes of Mefar Nechtav is to be like a Kiyam Shtaros, which I've said this many times. When I have a document, and if someone's going to question the validity of the document, they're going to have to be Mekayim Bishtar. I have to prove that the witnesses are legitimate. And we don't want to have a get that's relying on it. 20 years from now, we're going to go scrounging around looking for witnesses. So therefore, Chazal Institute, to make it easier, the Shliach will do a quasi Kiyam Shtaros before, even though he's not quite to aid him. The Netari don't really need Kiyam Shtaros. So therefore, Chazal instituted this new sugya called the Fare Nechtam Fare Nechtam, which is the equivalent of a Kiyam Shtaros. Kiyam Shtaros has to take place in a Beis Din. So therefore, the Gemara says that everybody agrees you need a Beis Din, and everybody agrees that you should need a Beis Din of three, like any other Dinei Torah. Says the Gemara, the only reason why one Amora says you can get away with two Dayanim here is because there's a third Dayan in the picture. We didn't notice. We didn't realize he was the Dayan. You know who he was? He's the Shliach. He's the guy himself. So he's the Shliach. He gives his Eidos, and then he turns around and he serves as the Dayan as well. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the pshat. Everybody agrees you need three Dayanim here. The question whether Lamaisi need three or whether two is as good as three is not whether you need three. Everyone agrees you need three in theory. The question is, can that third person, i.e. the Shaliach, can he wear the dual hat of being the Shaliach and being the Eid and being the Dayan all rolled into one? So the Gemara says, that's the Machlokes. So man the Yom Ibn Shnayim, the one who says that two suffices, Kosovar, Shaliach Nasa Eid, the Eid Nasa Dayan. So this guy, the Shaliach, can actually make a double jump. He starts as the Shaliach, then he becomes the aide, and then as an aide, he becomes the Dayan as well, and then we're fine with that. We have no qualms, no hesitations with that. You can wear multiple hats. The one who says in front of three, Kasava Shaliach Nasa aide, the aide Nasa Dayan. That's not true. It's one thing, it's bad enough to have the Shaliach be the aide, that will look the other way. But to have the aide become the Dayan, that's not possible. So at least at this stage of the Gemara, I was going to question him, but at this stage of the Gemara, the Gemara thinks that the issue involves here to the Machlekes with the Yechir Rabbi Chanina, technical issue, how many people have to be present at a Farinechdom, two or three? This question is not really a Gittin question. It's really a Eid Nasa Dayan kind of a question. Can an Eid, can a witness wear both hats? Can it be an Eid and a Dayan literally in the same case? So before we get to the intricacies of whether we can or cannot, there was something that the Gemara threw in here, kind of a little bit superfluous, and that was the issue of Shaliach Nasa Eid. The Gemara said that this Shaliach is really actually wearing three hats. He starts out as the Shaliach, then he becomes the Eid, and then he becomes the Dayan and does become the Dayan. So before the Gemara even discusses the Eid Nasa Dayan, the Gemara threw in for good luck. By the way, the Shaliach is Nasa Eid. Is that something that's poshut? Is that something the Gemara just said kind of flippantly? Or even that required a little bit of work on? So that's not primarily a sugi, but the Rishonim do talk about it here because the Gemara did mention it. So we'll just mention it for a moment. That principle, Shaliach Nasaid, is that something that catches our attention? Is that something strange that a guy's a Shaliach and an Eid all at the same time? Let's say, living up yet for a second, let's say Kiddushin. Reuven appoints Shimon as a Shaliach to bring a ring to Rachel. So Shimon comes to the Beis Din, comes to the Chuppah. There's only one other Eid there. So can Shimon give the ring, say the Harayat, and also be the Eid? Do we say Shaliach Nasaid or something? There's something funny, something fishy about the Shaliach being the aide wearing two hats at the same time. So Agamar says, no problem, no big deal. Shaliach Nasaid, everything's up, you do, everything's wonderful. So the truth is that it's actually Machlekes Amorim in Maseches Kedusha, the second parakh, Dafyam Gimel, where the Shaliach is Nasaid, the Shaliach is not Nasaid. So the Gemara explains, what's the lumdus? Why should somebody say Shaliach can't be an aide? So the Gemara has a fascinating insight. The Gemara says, well, there's a principle called Shluch Shav Kenosa. That's what shlichus means. Shlichus means that the shliach becomes like the mishaleach. If the shliach really truly becomes the mishaleach, so then he's the baldover. He's the mekadesh. So let's say, forgetting about shlichus for a second, let's say the chassid gives a ring to the kal in the presence of one aide, and the chassid says, don't worry, I'm the other aide. That's a joke. That's a farce. You're the baldover. You can't be the aide. You can't witness your own. You can sign your own marriage license. Go send that into the county clerk. See, you can get it back. You can get it returned back. So you can't be your own aide, your own chasana. So comes one day, the Gemara says shaliach is like the chasan because shluch is on kemoisa. It means literally. It's not a joke. Shlucho shalom kemoisa. If so, just as the chasan can't be his own aide, so to the shliach can't be his own aide. And the Gemara says the other day says no, it's not true. What's not true about it? It sounds like it's very true. Why does the other day disagree? And we happen to pass it that the shliach not aid. We pass it that the shliach can be an aide at the chasana. So what's going on? What's the longest? What happened to the principle of shluch shalom kemoisa? So there is an Orsameach that explains that the lumdus that's going on in that sugya is so basic, so fundamental to the entire institution of shlichus. Shlichus, this chiddush atar shlichus, shluchzam kemoisai, that Reuben becomes like Shimon. So one can understand that in one of two ways. Whenever we see that letter in Lashon Hara, kaf, called the kaf hadimyon, shluchzam kemoso, you always know there's going to be a very lumdus question. How do you interpret that kaf? Does that kaf hadimyon mean that the two are identical? It's not a dimyon, it's a hashva, it's an equation. That Reuven equals Shimon. That once Reuven is serving as the shaliach, Reuven literally steps into Shimon's shoes. Reuven is the Makadish, he's the Baldavar, he is the person, he's not going to be his wife, but Api Halacha, he's the one who's creating the chalos. That's what Shulch Shlomo Kabbalah means, he's the Baal HaChalos. If that's the case, then it makes a lot of sense that the shaliach can't be the aid. The same way that the Baal can't be the aid, the Chosin can't be the aid. How can the Shaliach who's Kemoisa be the aid? But maybe that's not what Shulch Shalom Kemoisa means. Maybe Shulch Shalom Kemoisa means as follows. That the Torah gives the Shaliach the ability to do things on behalf of the Mishaliach, and anything that the Shaliach does, it's as if the Mishaliach did it. Namely, the Maisa HaShaliach shoots back to the Mishaliach. So Shulch Shalom Kemoisa doesn't mean the Shaliach is the Mishaliach. Reuven 6'2", and Shimon is a 5'8". Reuven is blue-eyed, Shimon has green eyes. It's not kemoisa. It doesn't physically become the embodiment of the Mishaleach. All Shluch Shalom Kemoisa means is that just as, with a very, very kaf hadinyan, just as Reuven has the ability to give a ring to Rachel and become married to Rachel, so to Shimon to give the ring to Rachel and enable Reuven to become married to Rachel. Does it mean that Reuven and Shimon became one entity, one unit? That's absurd. That's not what Shulchan Aruch Kamaisa means. So says the Yosemeach, that's good for the Nekudas HaMachlokes. That's the point of contention between the Amoraim and the Gemara about just how much we view Shlichos as literally the embodiment of the Mishaleach. So the Maisa we pass in the Shlich Nasei. There's no question about it. The Gemara says explicitly in Pesach's Kedusha and Sefer Berak that Shlich Nasei. So that's why in our Sugya we have no hesitations with the Shliach walk into Bezin and say before the Nechta, that's what he's supposed to do. He's the Shliach again, he's the Eid again. That's wonderful. The only hesitation we have is that can he then jump to the next step and say, Ich bin a dying also. You know, we say in the Sanat Tokiv, is the Odeya of Eid, Kosev, he's the Eid who's the dying. The Rebbe Shem can do a lot of things, but Vos Madam, Eid, Eid, Nasa, dying. And do I say no? There's nothing wrong with an Eid, Nasa, dying. So this is really a Eidus Flesh, you're not really a Gitzug anymore. Why should we or should we not say Eidin Nasadayin? What is the din? Why? What is the hesitation of Eidin Nasadayin? And why should or should it not apply to our sugya?
Is this a case
of the Nechta? Yeah, there's a Nechta. The Shliach is going to walk in the basin and give a Haggadah to Eidus, that Fai Nechta, he's going to give that Haggadah to Eidus in front of two people, and then he's going to say, wait, hold the phone, let me switch teams, let me switch my role. And he quickly sits behind the bench. I guess in certain courts, he puts on his wimp, puts on a shaitel, puts on a long robe. He says, okay, what did I just hear? Oh, before Nechem, by Nechem, good, the Baal Sack. So, well, for before Nechem, by Nechem, it's not going to be too much Trish for Chakira. It's just going to be a simple statement, before Nechem, by Nechem. It's not going to ask too many questions. But you want to know, in a case where there is Trish for Chakira, it's going to be a very, very funny kind of Trish for Chakira. Let me ask you a question. When did the murder happen? Hold on 1 second. Let me give you the answer, and then I'll sit back and listen to what I have to say. So you're asking me a very, very bizarre dintura. So the question becomes, what is the mochel? Where does the Rish state in Chumash explicitly or not explicitly an Einin Asadayin? The Gemara throws this principle around, and it's not 100% clear in the Rishonim where it comes from. So for the purposes of our sugya, the Gemara presents it as a machlokes, yes? And then the Gemara says, no, 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 no. It could be in our sugya, everybody agrees, Eid Nasadayim. The Gemara concludes at the end of the first Mamkamas, V'kamam b'drabbonon de Eid Nasadayim. We pass that by Didim d'rabbonon, we can say Eid Nasadayim. And for Nechlezoni d'rabbonon, but by the Raisis, you can't. And that really sets the stage for next sugya. For the show tomorrow, we'll see, why is it? Where did this din come from? Everybody seems to buy into this din, Eid Nasadayim. We're not quite sure what the source says. We'll see tomorrow. It's a fundamental at least three different approaches to the Rishonim, what the source of this is all about and what the implications and parameters of this din. That's your most important. Yeah. Good.